Tonight we're going to continue the third, part three, message on prayer. And again, you know, I don't want these to be preaching at you. I want us to be examining God's Word and what God's Word really means and how it applies to us in reference to prayer. And so tonight we're going to look at Colossians chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 2. You know, as I was thinking about this, went back in time when my children were young. And one thing I had, as a father did through the years, was at night I would tuck my children in. And we would always have prayer. And I would go into three rooms and we'd have tuck-in time and prayer time. And you know, it amazed me. Looking back, you know, I took it very lightly. But through that period of time, we blessed everybody from baby dolls to pets to just anything in existence. And that's the innocence of a child, you know. And I thought, why aren't we that way? And yes, we don't bless things like baby dolls, but you know, shouldn't we ask God's guidance and pray about everything in our lives? No matter what it is, if it's a purchase, if it's a plan, if it's a problem, whatever it is, prayer should be such a tool in our arsenal that literally we should be afraid to act without having prayed about something. And so tonight, that's kind of the idea of the message tonight. It's taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 2. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in a way I ought to speak. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much again for your Word. Thank you so very much for this reminder, Lord, of our need to pray. Father, it's so easy to take that for granted. It's so easy to pray and just speak words because we're supposed to pray. And Father, I pray that you'll just take us away from that. I pray that you'll give us a sincere heart so that we may just share fellowship time with you in prayer. We may bring our burdens to you in prayer as well as our joys, our challenges. That, Lord, we'll be a praying people and we will pray about everything. And the reason we want to be that kind of a person, Lord, is because we know that you respond to our prayers. You answer our prayers. And Father, we need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, now I want to go back to just the common ground and the idea of what prayer truly is. Prayer, very simply, and you've heard people say, is talking to God. But that definition's not good enough. Prayer is communicating with God. I can talk and not say anything. Can't you? Y'all know I can do it. You've heard me preach for 14 years. I can talk and not say anything. Well, I can pray and not say anything. And what a waste that is. Prayer, the idea behind prayer is we want to communicate with God. Really, sincerely communicate with God. So that's the idea of this entire study. And in Colossians, Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Colossae on the subject of prayer here. As he closes out this book, he says, devote yourselves to prayer. He could have told them a lot of things. He could have told them to witness. He could have told them to help one another and all this. No, he said, devote yourself to prayer. Now, the idea of that word, devote, it's to be loyal to. You know, it's not just have a devotion, it's have a loyalty for. That no matter what circumstance, no matter how you feel, no matter what burden you have, pray about it. There is no excuse. Are we hearing me? There is no excuse for not having a strong prayer life. If I were to ask you, and we'd hesitate, and I did this last week just a little bit, but if I were to ask you, do you have a strong prayer life? Probably very few people would raise their hands. You should be able to raise your hands and say, I have a strong prayer life. Is everything about your prayers perfect? No. But you should be able to say, man, I pray all the time about everything. And there's no excuse not to. Right? And I hear people say, well, there's just so many distractions. Pray anyway. Okay? I don't have time. Pray anyway. Make time. Pray. I heard people say, well, you know, a lot of times I just don't feel like praying. I never do anything I don't feel like doing, do you? All the time. When you pray, or when you don't feel like it, what should you do? Pray. As a matter of fact, that's probably when you need to be praying the most. When praying is hard, pray. Prayer has to be a very high spiritual priority in the Christian's life. At all times. For everything. That's what Paul said in Philippians 4:6. But in everything by prayer and supplication. Not in some things. Not in just financial things. Not in just when there's sickness. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Here's the thing. How many of you want an intimate relationship with God? Would you raise your hands? You cannot have that apart from a strong prayer life. It will not happen. You're going to have to develop this prayer life. So tonight I just want you to ask yourself the question, where am I in my prayer life? And where do I want to go? And if you want to have that, you know, I've heard people, you've heard people say, well, God seems to be so distant. You know whose problem that is? That's your problem and my problem. And it's probably because you're not praying. I'm not saying repeating the Lord's Prayer or just saying words. I'm talking about praying, communicating, fellowshipping with God. Why is it so important? Here's the reason, okay? I didn't want to preach at you, and I kind of feel like I'm tiptoeing on the edge of preaching at you, right? But here's why it is so very important. Everything in life is a spiritual battle. You are not fighting the people at work, your boss at work. You're not fighting tough times. You're fighting the demons of hell. Okay? And people today, we like to think, well, there are no such thing as demons. Oh, yes, there are. There are demonic forces all around us. Look and see what's going on, and you immediately know that that can't happen unless somebody's influenced by demonic activity. You know? They are very real. They're very powerful. They're continually attacking. They were here during the life of Jesus. They're still here. If you have marriage problems, you're not fighting marriage problems. You're fighting demonic influence against your marriage. And you can list whatever problem you want to list, and it comes back to that. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. You're not the problem. I'm not the problem. Our struggle is against rulers, against powers, against the world of forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. You're fighting demons. And prayer is your weapon in that fight. That's why it's so important. Listen, there's some pretty smart people in this church, but you're not smart enough to do battle with the devil. I'm not smart enough to do battle with the devil. I'm not strong enough to do battle with the devil. That's why prayer is so important. And you have to understand it. And this is, I was reading A.W. Tozer the other day. He's one of my one of my heroes of the faith in the past, and he made this statement: spiritual battles are never lost when they're fought. And I thought about that. I thought, spiritual battles are never lost when they're fought. When are they lost? They're lost before the fight. What I'm talking about, I'll give you an example. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 40 and 41, Jesus had been in the garden praying. You remember that? When he prayed, great sweat drops of blood. And he had been in the garden praying, and he had poured his heart out before God, and he came back to check on his disciples. And you know what he found? This is what he found. He came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you mean you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now the next thing that happens is they come and arrest Jesus. What did the disciples do? They fled. They ran. They got out of Dodge, right? Why? It wasn't because they didn't pray when the temple police and that mob came to get Jesus. It was too late then. It was because they didn't pray the hour before when Jesus told them to watch and pray, that they enter not into temptation. And so when Jesus was arrested and they ran, they failed. They failed. Have you ever failed? Did you ever ask yourself why? This is why. I can look back at life and, oh yeah, Peter. When Peter denied Jesus 3 times, he didn't fail when they asked him, you're not a follower of this Jesus, are you? When that little girl said, oh, your accent gives you away, you're one of them. And Peter said, no, not me, and began to curse. That wasn't his failure. His failure was hours before when Jesus was in the garden praying and he was in the garden sleeping when Jesus told him to pray. And even after that, Jesus told him, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Listen, you have no idea the trap that Satan has set for you this week. You have no idea. I have no idea. Way too often we're blindsided. And we lose those spiritual battles because it happens that quick. It might be a temptation. That lady at work has just flirted with you one too many times and you fall. It might be losing your cool and saying things that a believer shouldn't say. It might be a temptation to be dishonest in a business dealing. Whatever it is, I promise you, Satan has something for you next week. And if you wait till you get there, you've waited too late. That's the idea of prayer. Lord, make me strong. Lord, prepare me. God, I can't fight this fight of my own strength. As I promise you, every one of us is going to be challenged at something next week. Maybe big, maybe little. That's why you have to be loyal in prayer today, before you get there. Now, I'm not saying if there's an opportunity and you get there and there's a challenge and that you don't cry out to God, absolutely, if you can at that time. But don't wait till you get there. David, a little shepherd boy. And we talk about how he defeated Goliath. He didn't defeat Goliath with just a sling and a stone. He defeated Goliath even on that day that he threw the rock and hit him in the forehead. You know when he defeated Goliath? He defeated Goliath when he was out in the shepherd in the hills keeping the sheep of his father, communing and fellowshipping with God. See, it was out there that he learned that God delivered him from the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear and all that. And when Saul tried to give him that armor, he said, I don't need it. I've got God. Where did he learn all? He learned all that in communion and fellowship with God. So when the challenge came and he faced his Goliath, guess what? Old Goliath didn't have a chance. Because he was ready when he got there. That's why prayer is so very important. Third thing that Paul said here, second thing that Paul said was keep alert in prayer. Keep alert in prayer. How do you keep alert in prayer? Well, it's like this. How many of you have a prayer time, a dedicated prayer time? That a certain time of the day, this is my prayer time. Good for you. Great. But you understand, that's not the only time to pray throughout the day, right? You're not filling in a box. You're not saying, okay, I've done my prayer time, so now I'm going to go on with life. No. Prayer time's wonderful. Do that. Keep it up. Good job. But you be ready throughout the day. You're not finished praying when prayer time is over. Okay? Never think that you're done. But instead, keep alert in prayer. And what that means, it speaks of as you're going throughout your day, you're ready. You're alert. You know there are demons out there. You know Satan's going to put something before you and cause a temptation to happen to draw you into sin, right? And so as you're going throughout the day, you stay alert. You be ready for it. And when it happens, there's another time to pray. Okay? Lord, get the devil off me. Lord, give me strength. This is too hard for me. I can't make it on my own. Lord, carry me through. That you're ready throughout the day. Whatever the thing is, maybe it's just a brother who comes up to you and he's having trouble, and he needs God's intervention in his life. Man, just grab that brother and pray with him. But you're looking for that opportunity to literally call down the power of heaven to address the needs of that particular second. I look at it like this. Y'all know I've always loved cowboy movies. John Wayne and all that group. I've watched them all. How those cowboys, the good guys always got their six shooter strapped onto their side, right? The bad guy shows up and challenges them. They yank that gun out. They shoot him, graveyard dead, put the gun away, and he's the hero, right? It's kind of that mentality in prayer. That you can't defeat the enemy, but praise God, God can defeat the enemy. And you're ready at that seconds. In a matter of milliseconds, that when that challenge comes, you're crying out to the throne of God saying, God, show yourself, intervene, get me out of this, help me through this, help my friend through this. Be ready, alert for prayer. Third thing he said, devote yourself to prayer, have loyalty. Be alert in prayer, and then with an attitude of thanksgiving. Listen, we all treat God like a Christmas list way too much, right? God's more than a Christmas list. God's God, right? And we should be thankful. But another reason this attitude of gratitude is important is because attitude affects how we feel. And when we have a true attitude of gratitude, right? And we're going through the day, there's plenty of things to pull you down and you're overpowered or feeling overchallenged by what's going on around you. Do you ever just stop and say, no, and start counting your blessings? You want to change how you feel? Start praying and counting your blessings, right? And start praising God for what He's done, I do. I was just feeling, day last week, I was feeling kind of down, and I left the house. I said, I got to go to church, and I just went to the church, and me and God had a talk. Well, there wasn't a talk. It's kind of like a little revival. And this passage came to mind because I was preparing for tonight, right? And I started praising the Lord. It was just me in my office, and so I didn't, wasn't anybody here to hear me, so I didn't worry about that. I started counting my blessings. You know what? It took me a long time to get them counted, and I didn't finish the job. I talked about praising God because I'm a child of the King, bought, paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit in the hand of Almighty God, which nobody can take me out of. You know? You start talking like that, and old Satan starts running. Other thing I thought about, that no matter what's going on, I know how this is going to end. Life may be hard today, it may be hard tomorrow, next month, next year, but I know where we're going. Praise God, there's a place prepared for me, eternal in the heavens. Then I got to thinking about my wife, 42 years, bless her heart, she's put up with me. My best friend, you know. Goodness gracious, I love her. I got to thinking about my kids, and my kids are wonderful, but, you know, we got on the grandkids. It's even better. Started going down this list and thinking all that God had given me. I have a wonderful family. I have a wonderful church family. I love you guys so much. Kept going down the list at I have a good home. I'm warm in the winter and cool in the summer. You know, I have a wonderful vehicle to drive by the grace of God. I didn't drive, come to church today in a covered wagon, and I'm so glad I didn't. Aren't you? This is our God. When you're feeling overwhelmed, you've got to get your eyes off of what Satan's throwing at you and put them on the God that has been so very good to you. That's what Paul's saying here. I have a Savior that's coming back to this earth to rule and reign, and I'm going to rule with Him. And you start counting these blessings, and I guarantee you, you won't spend 5 minutes counting your blessings before you'll be encouraged. Never forget the thanksgiving. It's so very easy to ask God for all these things and never stop and say, thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness. If you're going to have a prayer life, it's got to include thanksgiving. And then let's talk about what we're going to pray for. Paul said in verse 3, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in a way I ought to speak. Paul says, and oh, by the way, pray for me. Pray for me. You realize that only God can open ministry doors, right? You know, there may be a lot of things we'd like to see happen in this church, but if anything happens, it'll be because God opens the door. Right? Revelation 3:8, I know your deeds, behold, I put before you an open door, which no one can shut because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. God opens the doors. God provides the increase. Now, if God opens the doors and God provides the increase, should not the ministry be a major part of our prayer life? I think about it. Listen, 95% of most prayers and prayer requests are what? Health related. I'm not saying we should not pray for the sick. Please pray for the sick. When I'm sick, please pray for me. Pray for John Henry. Pray for Brother Johnny Ferguson. Pray for everybody that's sick. Absolutely. You know? That's what the book of James says. Pray. But don't let that be your prayer life. pray for ministry matters. Pray that God opens doors of ministry opportunity. Pray for the lost. Name them by name. Pray for them with passion. Lift them up to the throne of God. Pray for spiritual growth for yourself and all those around you. Pray for me. Pray for me that I can preach the word in a manner that will be clear. This morning's message God put on my heart, this morning was so, I was so convicted to preach this message. And I shared with Michael, that message was not what I thought it was going to be when I was thinking I was going to preach it until I started preparing for it, you know? And I saw God had a message for lost people there. Pray for those lost people. Pray for me that I can preach those messages very clearly and understandably so that lost people can understand. Pray for me that I can preach the messages and teach in a manner that saved people can hear and grow. One of the great things of a church is to watch its membership grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for me. Pray for Ken. Ken's always telling somebody about Jesus. Y'all know that, right? I love him for that. I mean, I love him anyway. But you know, glory to God for that passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Ken can't save anybody. Pray for him to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and people to respond to that sharing. Pray for Kelly Roach. Man, I love what's going on in our college ministry at V. But what's going on over there is way beyond what Brother Kelly can do. I love Brother Kelly, but he's over his head. Just like the rest of us are. I'm not bashing Kelly. He needs your prayers, is what I'm saying, to reach these college students. These college students have a lot of problems and issues and things they're facing in college. Pray for those students. Pray for Brother Michael. Brother Michael is such a blessing to me. He takes so much off my plate so I have more study time. He counsels with so many people. Pray for him. Pray for Josh as he's working with our teens. Listen, it's one thing to work with your own kid. It's another thing to work with everybody else's. Pray for that man. Pray for the spiritual doors to be open by God Himself. Okay? Don't let, again, yes, pray for the sick, but don't let the sick be the bulk of your prayer life. There are things, honestly, there are things that are more important than being healed of a physical disease. And that is the salvation of a lost soul. Okay? Make that part of your prayer life. And then finally, Paul was talking about praying for him so that he could be clear. And the idea there is not only clarity, but it's boldness. That I can preach boldly. Tonight I want to challenge you. Be bold in your prayer life. Be bold in your prayer life. Don't shy away from prayer. Now, I'm not saying make it a show like the Pharisees in the Bible did. I'm not suggesting that. But I'll tell you what, people need to see believers praying today. Honestly and truly, heart-feelingly lifting up their prayers before the throne of God. The world needs to see that. That's why I've asked you, you know, every service from now till the end of the month, let's come to the altar. Let's start with praise. And yes, let's pray for the sick. But let's also pray for these ministry doors to be open. Did you see the guests that were here this morning? Oh my goodness. God's working. God is working. Pray that God keeps these doors open and continues to open doors and gives us wisdom to go through them. And we'll see lost people saved. Keep coming to the altar. keep praying privately. You know, go into your prayer closet, but keep praying publicly. I guess the last thing I want to point out to you, one of the biggest blessings that I as a pastor can have is when you tell me you're praying for me. I appreciate that so very deeply. It means the world, okay? But I want to challenge you, don't just pray for me. When you know of a need, okay, and there's a time it's appropriate, there's a time it's not, okay? But when you know of a need and you have the opportunity to pull someone aside and just say to them, listen, I want to take a moment and pray for you right here now. That makes a difference. That encourages people. That blesses people. Like I say, you don't want to do it when there's a room full of people and everybody's gathered around this one individual. No, but when you have that opportunity and someone shares a burden with you and there is an opportunity, you can pull over to the side and say, I just want to pray for you right now. Do it. You let them know that you are loyal and that you are faithful in your prayer life. Listen, if we become a prayerful church, we will be a powerful church. I know the two go together hand in hand. Book of Revelation, the sign of a lukewarm church was what? They didn't have a need for anything. They thought they were rich. Their prayer life was pitiful. Okay? Today, I want you to look around. I want you to see the ministry needs. And I want you to lift these needs up before the Lord. I want you to pray. Tonight, we'll not have an invitation. But I've given you a lot to pray for tonight, right? And so we're going to close this service as we closed last week. I know there are some of you that cannot kneel down at this altar. I understand that and appreciate that. But if you can, I want to invite you back. And let's pray for the ministries of this church. Let's pray for the ministers of this church. Let's pray for the sick. Let's pray for everything, for our country. You know, a lot of people kind of have the mentality, oh, it's going to be all right now because Trump's now our president. It's not going to be all right apart from God. Okay? It's not. I don't care if it's a Republican, Democrat, Independent, or whatever in between. The guy has no chance apart from the power of God. Okay? Let's pray for the president. Let's pray for the Congress. Let's pray for the government of Arkansas. And let's pray that God will bring revival to our great nation. I'll invite you to come. There's no time limit. There's no short or long. You come and you pray as you feel the Lord lead.